Let's go to our regular historian, Dr. Grant Morris, who's standing by with quite a provocative theory to share with us. He reckons New South Wales is the leader of Australasia. Hi, Grant.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
Good, thank you. And as usual, your argument begins several hundred years ago.
It does indeed. It does indeed. And it also begins with looking at the current events at the moment and saying, well, you know, is there any historical context to what we're seeing here? This time in relation to the various COVID outbreaks in different Australasian jurisdictions, and just looking back in history and saying, you know, is it an historical reality that we always end up following New South Wales, whether we like it or not?
Okay, well, what was the situation in, I think, 1788 is the year you're beginning with?
Yeah, so there's a few, to this theory, there's a few elements why I'm arguing that New South Wales is the leader in Australasia. Again, to say whether we want it to be the case or not, it has this gravitational pull. And it was, in terms of colonisation, was the first of the British colonies in this part of the world to be set up. So 1788 with the first British settlers in Botany Bay, and then, you know, Sydney Cove and Port Jackson, and it had that advantage of that early start being a penal colony from the beginning, and then the other colonies followed from that. It also has the advantage of always having a big population base, obviously starting off small in terms of the colony, but having that lead in time to build up that population. And the other element that it's always had going for it is its geography. You know, it has what its first governor, Arthur Phillips, described as the finest harbour in the world. Now, you know, some Aucklanders or Wellingtonians or others might beg to differ, but Sydney Harbour is magnificent. And in terms of functionality, you know, it gave that early colony a huge advantage. And I suppose one of the things I want to get across today is, in those early years, so of course Cook's voyages, 1769, and you've got other Australian colonies, Van Diemen's Land and others developing, but you know, the British influence in this part of the world is being run out of Sydney. It's being run out of New South Wales. So even New Zealand in those pre-Treaty Waitangi years is kind of within the orbit or the gravitational pull of New South Wales. So there are parts of our, I suppose, life in New Zealand at that time, 1820s, 1830s, where New South Wales is getting involved. You know, it's not a British colony, but New South Wales has some influence. And when preparations are made for the signing of the treaty, you know, New South Wales is very much involved, to the extent that for the first year of our colony, we were part of New South Wales. And so early on, not just for New Zealand, but for the other Australasian colonies as well, New South Wales keeps kind of getting involved and taking a lead.
So how did things change as time went on?
Well, I think the first big challenge to this New South Wales dominance is really from Victoria, and it's the gold rush of the 1850s. And as we know, there's a huge rivalry between Melbourne and Sydney, and I would say between Victoria and New South Wales as well. Yeah. And a lot of it stems from that time that Melbourne really came out of nowhere to, you know, with this gold, this great boom and the gold rush in the 1850s leading on to the marvellous Melbourne phase, and started to give New South Wales and Sydney in particular a real challenge. And of course, one of the great debates and sticking points leading up to Federation in 1901, which of course New Zealand was invited and declined to be part of, is where would the capital be? Would it be in Melbourne or would it be in Sydney? And of course, the compromise was Canberra. But you know, you got to ask yourself: is that really a compromise when Canberra is in New South Wales? Of course, it's the Australian Capital Territory, and it is technically separate, but it's geographically in New South Wales. So even though Melbourne,
I thought the idea was that it was equidistant from the two of them.
Well, it is for the cities. It is for the cities, but of course, I'm arguing New South Wales is the state. So is the dominant force. So it's not just Sydney. So when we look at Canberra on a map and we look at its location, yes, there was a stipulation that it had to be a certain distance away from Sydney, geographically, it's within that, it's within New South Wales in terms of boundaries.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What's been the trend over more recent times then?
Yeah, so in more recent times, Sydney just continues to grow and grow. So New South Wales and Sydney, you know, as with Melbourne, as with Auckland as well, and other parts of Australasia, they've continued to have that growth. But you know, Sydney's growth is amazing. And you know, many New Zealanders and probably even most of your listeners will have visited it. You know, a city of 5.4 million, Greater Sydney. New South Wales has a population of 8.2 million. And while Melbourne comes close, New South Wales as a state has quite a few, is quite bigger in terms of population, and therefore it attracts, you know, attracts commerce, it attracts the Olympics and other big events. You know, whenever you see a movie and they're celebrating at the end if the world's been saved from disaster, you know, you always see Sydney Opera House and the bridge there. It's iconic. And Paul Keating, I don't agree with this, but Paul Keating's famous quote, if you're not living in Sydney, you're just camping out. In a way, I'm sure it angered lots of people when he said that, but in a way encapsulates that dominance it has. And I suppose part of what I'm arguing today is that, you know, when New South Wales does something, so when it does, you know, for example, a COVID policy, which is different from many of the other Australasian states and from New Zealand, it affects us. You know, whether we like it or not, or agree with it or not, it affects us so hard, even for New Zealand as a separate nation, to escape the gravitational pull of New South Wales.
The economic gravity you're talking about there.
Yeah, and politics as well. Because if you view it at the moment, obviously Canberra, the capital, but you know, Scott Morrison is based in Sydney, and you know, Gladys Berejiklian, the New South Wales Premier, is of the same party as Scott Morrison. You could argue that, you know, that the national plan around COVID and Australia is being run out of Sydney as much as it's being run out of Canberra. And if that's the case, then the gravitational pull of New South Wales, you know, if that's where Australia is being run from, then that's where, you know, it's going to affect New Zealand as well. And I suppose what I'm trying to argue today, and you know, it's a theory, is that that's been the case, you know, through many periods of New Zealand's history, where New South Wales it's had this presence and this influence on New Zealand that, you know, we can't escape.
We'll have to leave it there. Dr. Grant Morris, thanks very much for your analysis. Great to chat to you. Cheers.
Cool. Thanks, Jesse.
Grant's at the Victoria University of Wellington School of Law.